This is a segment from the Annex Sociology Podcast. For more information, visit us on the web at theannexpodcast.com.
All right, so I've got an item, which is, you know, a few days ago at this recording, about 9 days when you hear this, there was a terrorist incident in Toronto. And in some ways, there's a fairly obvious way in which this terrorist incident reflects recent trends in terrorism, and that it was a vehicle attack. You know, there's been a few terrorist attacks where somebody basically rents a large car or has a large car and plows it into a crowd of people. There was an attack like that in Nice. Was it Nice or Marseille? Anyway, somewhere in the south of France. Several years ago, there was an attack like that at either UNC or Duke, one of the North Carolina universities, like 10 or 15 years ago. And there's been a few in Germany. This does seem to be kind of a growing, I think there was one in Britain. So this is a growing trend in terrorism, is that rather than getting a gun or a bomb, someone simply uses a large car and drives into a crowd of people. Mm-hmm. But there's another way in which I want to understand this as kind of a strange, heretofore really unnoticed trend in terrorism, which is the motive of the perpetrator. Yeah. You know, early on, you had the usual suspects speculating about, you know, the usual issues of like, oh, is this person alt-right? Is this person, you know, Middle Eastern? It turns out that the person, you know, happened to be of Middle Eastern origins, but not the way people were thinking. He seems to have had an Armenian name, implying he was a Christian. Mm-hmm. But his state of motives for the attack were something called incel rebellion, which stands for involuntary celibates rebellion.
It's all becoming clear.
Well, I think that this is not something that we think of as like an organized political movement, let alone an organized terrorist movement, mm-hmm. but it increasingly is. And I think it's fair to say that a fair amount of there's been several terrorist attacks that were, you know, directly motivated by this. And then I think there's other terrorist attacks that on the surface are about, you know, white supremacy or Islamist terrorism or something like that.
But it was really involuntary celibacy.
Well, you dig a little deeper and, you know, there is kind of a common pattern that a lot of terrorists tend to be losers who really have nothing to lose. And so, you know, this is their way to achieve like a moment of greatness or glory or something like that, subjectively anyway.
So wait, I want to clarify just to get my head around this. Involuntary celibacy, these are dudes who are mad because they're not having sex.
Yes. And they have internet forums that are devoted to them. So there used to be one called Reddit/incels, and then apparently that got banned for being too misogynistic. And then it kind of reconstituted itself under another subreddit. A lot of 4chan consists of this. There's a certain amount of overlap between incel types and pickup artist types. There's also a certain amount of overlap between them and alt-right types. And in the same way that you see every time there's a mass shooting, kind of the standard pro-gun position is, well, if only there were more guns, somebody else could have shot this character, you know, before they were able to kill any other people. In the same way, anytime there's, you know, a piece of incel-motivated terrorism, you see pickup artists saying, oh, if only someone taught this how to seduce women, he wouldn't have been so sexually frustrated that he you know, murdered people.
You know, I mean, that's just like crazy. I mean, that, just, that, I mean, that just like bring, I don't know, this is like a new level of entitlement, right? Yeah. I mean, it's like, I'm so, I feel so entitled to get laid that my not getting laid means that it's okay for me to go out there and just wreak havoc. Right. Like, yeah. I mean, geez, I mean, you can pay for it, right? You can pleasure yourself, as they say. I mean, this is unbelievable. You know, guys, I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. I blame the internet. I blame.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I think that's fair in a few ways, right? So number one, the ubiquity of internet pornography creates the expectation
of
ubiquitous sexuality, right? You see the pizza guy being drawn in by the two women saying, come join our party.
And you saw that one too, Gideon.
and you think this is how life is supposed to go. And so when it doesn't go that way, you think, you know, what's wrong with these Chads and Stacys? I'm going to plow a car into them. And
what's a Chad and Stacy?
Those are names that these people have for people who are more sexually successful than them.
Oh. Chad and Stacy.
Yeah, they're sort of personifications of people who they envy.
I think they were in that porn movie that you just referenced.
Yeah, so if you see Chad the pizza boy gets invited in by Stacy the pizza customer, you know, and then that doesn't happen to you, you feel entitled and you feel angry. But then the other way that the internet's responsible for it is that it lets these people connect to each other. And instead of just feeling like, oh, I'm lonely, full stop, it lets you form yourself as part of a community that sees this as almost a quasi-political identity. And it, in a weird way, makes martyrs out of some of these people. Like, apparently these people will refer semi-facetiously to the UC Santa Barbara shooter as St. Elliot Rogers. Like, they talk about him as a hero, and there does seem to be a certain amount of tongue in cheek, but like the Toronto car guy's message, his kind of suicide message, is explicitly invoked that he was imitating the UC Santa Barbara shooter.
Wow. Mm-hmm. First of all, there might be something to that internet. Like, we live in an age, does everything have to be a social movement? Like, there's no, like, I know we're sociologists and we're supposed to see problems as collective and whatever.
Well, yeah, but in sociology, it's like you can't talk about firms unless you talk about firms as a social movement. You can't talk about social movement unless you talk about social movements as firms. So it makes sense that, you know, who are we to judge, basically lonely losers as a social movement?
Yeah, it's almost like just any type of life situation now, someone seems poised to pick up a banner and marshal the troops towards some version of social justice, no matter how nuts so it is, including this incel. This boggles my mind.
Well, that's what's right. We all understand the idea of, like, far right terrorism or far left terrorism or, you know, religious terrorism. That's a concept that makes sense to us. Whereas, like, the idea of misogynistic terrorism is kind of like a new category. And I think that's one reason why we don't notice it, right? I feel like this is something that it has actually been happening, at least in Santa Barbara, possibly much earlier. Certain serial killers seem to have, like, a misogyny as almost like a political motive. But it's something that we don't notice because we don't have a category for it, in the same way as, you know, the RFK assassination was Islamic terrorism, but people didn't recognize it at the time because they didn't really have a category for that yet, because it was before the Islamic Revolution. So in Iran. So, you know, this is something that's already happening, but there's no category for us to understand it. And so it kind of just, like, goes past us as just like a blur of raw sensory information. Although given that the Toronto car guy, you know, explicitly invoked it, I think we're, you know, from this day forward, we'll have this as a category. And, you know, unfortunately, the next time this happens, you know, which it probably will, we'll now have a category and we'll slot it in and say, oh, that's another example of this, you know, whereas previous examples we may have just ignored just because we didn't have a way to categorize them.
So, Gabriel, like, what I mean, I think that that's a great point. But at the same time, I would say that this has been going on for, like, basically since the beginnings of the internet, with, you know, so much of the trolling, and it's so much of the horrible stuff that you see on the internet is actually, I think, a form of misogynistic terrorism. Like, and, you know, just because no one has actually been killed, right? I think that, like, the fear that so many men on the internet have been instilling in women, just for women being women, I think that's been going on for a really long time. And it's remarkable to me that, you know, as you're saying now, like, that we still haven't really had it made this into a category.
Yeah. So I think we're really agreeing. I wouldn't want to conflate harassment and terrorism, because I think it's important to distinguish between actual violence and harassment, even though harassment can be very severe and cause people severe problems. But, you know, I think we're agreed that this is something that the facts have been there for a long time. We just never noticed them because we didn't have a category.
Let me ask a question from you guys. I'm going to invoke, I think it's Chris Rock. What about just crazy? Like, are we digging too deep into all of these ideologies of like Islamofascism and the militia movement and whatever and this incel? And we're basically just listening to the ramblings of people who are just fundamentally nuts. They got aggression problems. And we're looking for meaning and speaking about people as if they have these thought out agendas when they're just like they have a hard on for violence. Or they're just nuts. Is that the direction that we should be taking? Or
I think that sometimes that it, like if a homeless schizophrenic pushes someone onto the subway tracks, you know, I don't think we need to look too far into their political agenda. And like that guy who shot the congresswoman in Arizona, he does seem to have just been a paranoid schizophrenic, and that was his entire motive. But you know, in other cases, it really does seem to be the case that people have, at the very least, you can draw a continuum between they have political motives and they have a political frame that they give to their underlying aggression. But I would say that this idea of incel terrorism is almost like it is the underlying motive, even if somebody says that they're they're shooting up a black church because you know they're on the alt right, or you know they're shooting police officers because they see it as a Black Lives Matter grievance, or they're you know blowing up a bank, you know anything. All those motives, I think some of them do ultimately boil down to simply being mad and frustrated. I think it's useful to you know take kind of a comparative approach and recognize that we have had phenomena similar to this in other societies. The phrase "running amok" is a reference to a centuries-long Malay tradition, which no longer exists, but apparently existed for you know roughly 1700 to about 1900, where in various Malaysian cultures, someone who was simply frustrated, felt like a loser, felt like no one respected them, would take a machete or an axe, usually a machete, to a public place and just start killing people until a mob organized to tackle them and kill them. And that, if you think about it, is exactly the same as the mass shooter pattern that we have now, except they were going to a marketplace or something instead of a school, and they were using a machete instead of an assault rifle. But you know, it had the same social significance. It had the same motives. It was driven by the same feelings of frustration and alienation. And it's interesting to note that, you know, this is something that you don't have very often in, you know, you have it much more in the United States than you do in many other Western democracies, at least with, you know, out with the non-political motives, this is something that you had in Malay culture at one point, but you don't have anymore, right? So it is a cultural pattern and it's a meaningful pattern. It's not a purely individualistic process. There is something social about it.
Right. And you read this article, and I mean, my first inclination was, this is crazy. Chad and whatever.
Stacey.
I was like, Stacey's what the kidding. Hell's going on? Yeah, no, Stacey's, I'm sorry. I was thinking sort of, you know, what's going on? But when you sort of dig deeper into the post that this guy made, or the Santa Barbara guy made, you sort of see this a theme that's, I mean, it's certainly specific to their motivations, right? There's a sort of perceived loss of rights in some way, and a sense of victimhood in a way that, although in these cases ended in violence, I mean, we've seen, you know, just over the last couple of years, you know, a backlash against women's rights, a backlash against minority rights or against civil rights, affirmative action, et cetera. And I'm wondering if, you know, these these young guys that are out doing this are really the tip of a broader political cultural sort of iceberg that's going on. And it's not just, you know, crazy individuals out there. If they're forming these forums where they're finding sort of community, it's actually. Now I'm afraid because it's not just the crazy individual. If you look at these forums, they're pretty frightening. But I think it is a symptomatic of something bigger going on right now.
Now, one respect in which it's not terrorism is you'll sometimes see people get upset and say, like, you know, this, you know, white supremacist, you know, shot three black people. Then the FBI says it's not terrorism. And they're like, what the hell is it terrorism? That's because the FBI is relying on a very specific definition of terrorism, which means basically some cell leader has to give you marching orders and you go and implement them. It's not enough to spontaneously be motivated by your dedication to a political cause. You actually have to have marching orders by a cell leader and, you know, lone wolf inspired political violence doesn't count. And so in that respect, it's not truly incel terrorism, but like, could we actually get to that point where we actually do have, you know, some forum leader basically says, you know, let's blow up bombs in three cities next Tuesday.
Because I'm not getting laid.
Yeah, exactly.
When somebody randomly gets lucky, they're like out of the club. They're like, all right, guys, it happened. I'm out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, who knows, right? But, well, I think that it could be, this is like kind of the relationship between these two overlapping movements of incels and pickup artists, where, you know, both of them are these misogynistic movements, and a lot of incels aspire to become pickup artists. And then if they fail in that, they kind of resent both women and the pickup artists who they see as having scammed them. And the you know, the pickup artists are pretty ugly too. You know, there was a prosecution in San Diego for some pickup artists who were running a seduction academy that for all practical purposes was a rape apprenticeship, where they a guy would pay them to live in their apartment. They would hang out at bars at 2 a.m, wait to see women who had drank too much and were stumbling, and they would kind of cajole them to go back to their apartment, and then they would rape them in the apartment and kick them out.
Well, that's literally a rape academy.
Yeah, I wasn't exaggerating. I mean, I'm not one to exaggerate on that kind of thing. And
yeah, it was. That was an episode of Criminal Minds.
Well, it's also a real case in San Diego with several people who are now serving time in California prisons, and deservedly so. So, you know, I mean, this, you know, this misogyny does take organized forms, but so far it doesn't seem to be having organized terrorism. It does seem to be having spontaneous quasi-political violence, right? If, and you can call that terrorism or not, depending on how important this like cell leader gives you marching orders definition that law enforcement uses is to you.
Have we carried the logic of victimhood too far to the point where people are clamoring for a narrative of victimhood to explain regular challenges that one encounters in life?
Yes. I mean, yes.
That's great. Fair response. Yes. I think you're right. I think you're totally right.
Okay. So you're saying like people are taking it as a social ill that they're not having sex. But, you know, there is a way in which different social arrangements make it more or less likely that some people will have sex. So, you know, within this community, I think this is, you know, to kind of give the devil its due. This is something they get right. They like to quote Welbeck, where Welbeck has this famous passage in one of his novels where he talks about how the sexual revolution has effectively created kind of a capitalist level inequality for sex in the same way, which is very different from if you have different social institutions, right? So if you have a social institution of monogamy, then this is going to ensure that basically everybody in society pairs up and there's a total level of inequality, right? The Gini coefficient for sex is going to be zero in a world with perfect monogamy. I mean, it might be a little different if there's serial monogamy for some people. Somebody's wife dies in childbirth, they remarry, you know, that sort of thing. But basically, which is the kind of thing you had in the Middle Ages, but basically you're going to have a very low Gini coefficient for sex and partnership. And that is compared to if there's kind of a free-for-all, you'll have, you know, the most attractive, compelling, high status, whatever people are going to have many sexual partners and lots of people are going to be left behind. Same thing will be true if you explicitly have polygamy, you know, where in a world with explicit polygamy, you'll have some people are going to have multiple partners. Other people aren't going to have any partners at all. In particular, you know, men are going to have many partners because polygyny is much more common than polyandry. Polyandry basically doesn't exist in any cultures. And the few examples that you can think of are really weird and mostly have to do with scarcity. Right. But, you know, that's going to create levels of inequality. Now, where they have it wrong is that they're not interested in a world of perfect monogamy. They want to be the star of the porn video, and they're mad that they're not the star of the porn video. And there's no world where that will happen, right? There's no world where everybody gets to have total unfettered sexual access and is totally entitled to sexual access all the time. You know, they don't yearn for a world of monogamy. They yearn for a world of, you know, pornographic fantasy. Now, and it can get weird. Like, apparently they talk about like weird ideas of like women being auctioned off when they're sexually mature. Like, they have these bizarre, in my mind, dystopian, but in their mind, utopian fantasies of how sexual pairing ought to work. But,
like slavery.
You know, yeah, almost. Yeah. Yeah, basically. Yeah. But, you know, what I do think you were right about is that it is true that the level of sexual inequality is socially structured. And we can imagine counterfactual societies that would have more or less levels of sexual inequality.
I'm sure all of these guys feel like they should have models for girlfriends. I'm sure these guys are all grossly overestimating their personal attractiveness.
Yeah, come on. You know what I mean? It's like, grow up, everybody. All right. Like, if you aren't model attractive, then get a personality, right? If you can't get a personality, at least pretend to be nice. Right. I mean, we all understand, at least I think most human beings understand that we, you know what I mean? We have these, like, we have to adapt to certain, adapt to certain contexts, right? And that, you know, in some ways, like, we have strengths and then we have weaknesses, and you sort of try and, you know what I mean? You try and make sure that you build on your strengths as much as you possibly can, right? What is going on? Are we not raising our children correctly? Is it really just porn? There is something going on here that really, that is very, very disturbing to me. Mm-hmm. It's very, very disturbing. And it's this confluence of this, of the power of what the internet can deliver to you, and both in terms of content and in terms of being able to form a community, as well as I think this growing sense of like entitlement to everything, right? That seems to be growing among too many of us.
Where are these expectations coming from? These rights they feel like they should have in the first place. I hope somebody will study that.
Me too.
No, I agree. I mean, I was going to give a speculation, you know, and say like, well, maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's the pickup artists who, you know, see these guys as their customer base.
Collective behavior on Reddit and 4chan. Like, yeah, it can just emerge.
But I think you're ultimately right that this is something that, you know, really does deserve to be studied. And kind of, like, I would love to read an ethnography. Like, I feel sorry for the grad student who would have to write it. I'd love to read an ethnography of this. Like, you know, kind of like, you know, somebody has their field notes on spending 4 years with incels and pickup artists and stuff like that, and kind of talking about how they develop these notions of sexual entitlement and anger and misogyny.
I want to bring back a question that I asked a few episodes ago when we were talking about Jordan Peterson. Do you think that we're failing in the way we raise young men?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you said that, because I was actually thinking that, which is like what I've seen from a lot of people on like sociology Twitter is like, oh, they disagree with Peterson, or they think, but it's like at a fundamental level, what he is doing is he's offering a notion of bourgeois respectability to young men and saying, grow up, behave. And, you know, you may not like the specific ways in which he does it. You may think it's ridiculous that he says sociology is postmodern, whereas none of us ever use that word. But at a fundamental level, if you have to choose between him and the pickup artists, you know, in terms of like cultivating a notion of masculinity for young men, I think it's clear you take Jordan Peterson in a heartbeat. as the superior notion of masculinity to argue these young men so that they can be productive, not destructive.
Right.
I wonder about that. Like, I the more I think about it, and especially with Jordan Peterson, that's what I'm beginning to think, is that young men are feeling demonized and victimized. And there's not kind of like what we talked about with the conservatives. There's a lack of older people maybe who are reaching out to them. That might be part of the problem.
Yeah.
For more, visit us on the web, theannexpodcast.com.